Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading text 36 from Canto 6, Chapter 5. Daksha Uvacha. What he's going to say is not very nice. In any case, Sri Daksha Uvacha. Oho asadho sadhunam. Sadhu lingena nastvaya. Asadvakarya bhakkanam. Bhikshor marga pradarshitaha. Sri Daksha Uvacha. Prajapati Daksha said, Aho asado, O greatly dishonest non-devotee. Ooh, it hurts to say that. Addressed to Narada Muni. Sadhunam, of the society of devotees and great sages. Sadhu lingena, wearing the dress of a saintly person. Naha, unto us. Tvaya, by you. Asadhu, a dishonesty. Akari, has been done. Arbakanam, of poor boys who were very inexperienced. Bhiksho margaha, the path of a beggar or mendicant sannyasi. Pradarshitaha, shown. Okay, so listen carefully and plug your ears at the same time because it's Vaishnava Parad. Here we go. Prajapati Daksha said, Alas, Narada Muni, you wear the dress of a saintly person, but you are not actually a saint indeed. Although I am now in grihastha life, I am a saintly person. By showing my sons the path of renunciation, you have done me an abominable injustice. 2.5-page purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Sanyasira alpa chidra sarva loke gaya. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 12:51. In society, one will find many sannyasis, vanaprasthas, grahasthas, and brahmacharis, but if all of them properly live in accordance with their duties, they are understood to be sadhus. Prajapati Daksha was certainly a sadhu because he had executed such great austerities that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, had appeared before him. Nevertheless, he had a fault-finding mentality. He improperly thought Narada Muni to be asadhu or non-saintly because Narada had foiled his intentions. Desiring to train his sons to become grihasthas, fully equipped with knowledge, Daksha had sent them to execute austerities by Narayana Saras. Narada Muni, however, taking advantage of their highly elevated position in austerity, instructed them to become Vaishnavas in the renounced order. This is the duty of Narada Muni and his followers. They must show everyone the path of renouncing this material world and returning home back to Godhead. Prajapati Daksha, however, could not see the exaltedness of the duties of Narada Muni performed in relation to his sons. Unable to appreciate Narada Muni's behavior, Daksha accused Narada of being asadhu. That's in one word, asadhu, not sadhu. Paragraph. The words, bhikshor marga, quote, the path of the renounced order, unquote, are very significant in this regard, as sannyasi is called Chidandi Bhikshu because his duty is to beg alms from the homes of grihastas and to give the grihastas spiritual instructions. A sannyasi is allowed to beg from door to door, but a grihasta cannot do so. Grihastas may earn their living according to the four divisions of spiritual life. A brahmana, grihasta, may earn his livelihood by becoming a learned scholar and teaching people in general how to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He may also assume the duty of worship himself. Therefore, it is said that only brahmanas may engage in deity worship, and they may accept as prasad whatever people offer the deity. Although a brahmana may sometimes accept charity, it is not for his personal maintenance, but for the worship of the deity. Thus, a brahmana does not stock anything for his future use. Similarly, kshatriyas may collect taxes from the citizens, and they must also protect the citizens, enforce rules and regulations, and maintain law and order. The Vaishyas should earn their livelihood through agriculture and cow protection, and Shudras should maintain their livelihood by serving the three higher classes. Unless one becomes a Brahmana, one cannot take sannyas. Sannyasis and Brahmacharis may beg alms door to door, but a Grihastha cannot. New paragraph. Prajapati Daksha condemned Narada Muni because Narada, a brahmachari who could beg from door to door, had made sannyasis of Daksha's sons who were being trained to be grihastas. Daksha was extremely angry at Narada because he thought that Narada had done him a great injustice. According to Daksha's opinion, Narada Muni had misled Daksha's inexperienced sons. Parentheses. Asadhu, akari, arvakanam. Daksha regarded his sons as innocent boys who had been misled when Narada showed them the renounced order of life. Because of all these considerations, Prajapati Daksha charged that Narada Muni was asadhu and should not have adopted the dress of a sadhu. Paragraph. Sometimes, a saintly person is misunderstood by grihastas, especially when he instructs their young sons to accept Krishna consciousness. Generally, a grihasta thinks that unless one enters grihasta life, he cannot properly enter the renounced order. If a young man immediately adopts the path of the renounced order in accordance with the instructions of Narada or a member of his disciplic succession, his parents become very angry. This same phenomena is occurring in our Krishna consciousness movement because We are instructing all the young boys in the Western countries to follow the path of renunciation. We allow grihastha life, but a grihastha also follows the path of renunciation. Even a grihastha has to give up so many bad habits that his parents think his life has been practically destroyed. And it's true. We allow no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no intoxication, and consequently the parents wonder how, if there are so many no's, one's life can be positive. In the Western countries especially, these four prohibited activities practically constitute the life and soul of the modern population. Therefore, parents sometimes dislike our movement, just like Prajapati Daksha disliked the activities of Narada and accused Narada of dishonesty. Nevertheless, although parents may be angry at us, we must perform our duty without hesitation because we are in the disciplic succession from Narada Muni. And final paragraph. People addicted to householder life wonder how one can give up the enjoyment of grihastha life, which is a concession for sex enjoyment, simply to become a mendicant in Krishna consciousness. They do not know that the householder's concession for sex life cannot be regulated unless one accepts the life of a mendicant. The Vedic civilization therefore enjoins that at the end of one's 50th year, one must give up household life. This is compulsory. However, because modern civilization is misled, householders want to remain in family life until death, and therefore they are suffering. In such cases, the disciples of Narada Muni advise all members of the younger generation to join the Krishna consciousness movement immediately. There is nothing wrong with this. Any questions? I don't want to chant the verse again. It's not nice. So, there's three main parts. Plus, so the three main parts are the cultural aspect that's being described, the fault-finding mentality of Daksha, and then the duty of those representing Narada Muni to do as Narada Muni does and did. So the cultural edification that we're receiving is each of the four orders, brahmachari, grahastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, may feature someone who is sadhu. Not only that the sannyasi is sadhu, the qualification, if they properly live in accordance with their duties. Now, that's not a small thing. One who does that first is knowing what duties are. I spoke last night in the Russian group, Rajamohan's group of the suburbs. And part of the class was discussing, they're going to begin a systematic study of Bhagavad Gita. They're very enthusiastic for that because they've been practicing and now they want to systematically understand the message of Bhagavad Gita. So mine was prime the pump, get started, get a picture of where the train is going, kind of a message. And there's a part of what I did yesterday evening fits in with this. is from the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, there's a very concise two-sentence pearl out of many other pearls. Prabhupada says, Krishna descended into this world to explain the purpose of life to those who had forgotten what is the purpose. Real simple. Bhagavad Gita's message is, what is the purpose of life? For those who have forgotten. Of those who reach an understanding of that message, there are a few who enter into the spirit of that understanding. And for those persons, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. Cool, huh? So there's don't know the purpose. Then there's edification about the purpose. Some, oh, that's the purpose. The light goes on. Oh, that's the purpose. And then what's next? Then some enter into the spirit of the purpose. They live their life as a sadhu lives their life. There are duties, and the duty isn't just do this and don't do that. It's the purpose of do this and don't do that. It's to make offerings to Krishna of one's life and whatever one does. Life of devotion to Krishna. One who enters into the spirit of that, that's a sadhu. So Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita for potential sadhus who were otherwise covered. So one may be sadhu from any position. Know what the purpose is, fulfill the purpose, and carry out duties according to that purpose. Again, it's just the conversation with the nice Jewish lady. Religion is, there's laws and you follow the laws. Be a religious person. But to understand the purpose is, there's a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we should act and within that relationship, establish the relationship, sambandha, again, know what is a relationship, and who is Krishna, you know, the sambandha tattva. And then establish the foundation and then act in that relationship. That's the purpose. That's the spirit of the purpose of human life. That's not just be good and don't be bad. A little sharing. I travel, and often when I travel, or from time to time when I travel, curiosity seeking, you know, four types of people. So some are curious. Do you mind if I ask you some personal question? No, go right ahead. Are you part of a religious organization? You know, if I'm, depends on the person. Yes, how did you know? It's not Halloween. Yeah, I'm part of a religious organization. Or they'll say, are you a Krishna, are you a Buddhist monk? My reply is, no, I'm a Krishna monk. Oh. What's a Krishna monk? So then they sometimes say, would you mind just, what are the basic ideas and beliefs of a Krishna monk? And you say, whatever I say, they don't hear it. They say, oh, that's very nice. I also believe that you should be nice to people and don't hurt anybody. Huh? That's not what I said. But it's not always, but it's very common. That's what they hear. Oh. So, you know, be religious. That's what they hear. Follow the do's and avoid the don'ts, and you're dharmic. You're you accept the codes of conduct given by God, and you follow them, which is a statement here about sadhu, one who lives in accordance with their duties properly. Properly is with the higher purpose. Anyway, the sadhus may come from any position. Now, here's the fault-finding, or we can even use the word sectarian, because it's appropriate here also. Here's daksha, who is a certain type of sadhu. Here's what Prabhupada says about daksha. Prajapati daksha was certainly a sadhu, because he had executed such great austerities that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, had appeared before him. I mean, how can we say he's anything other than sadhu? Well, he's a sadhu, but he has a fault-finding propensity, Prabhupada writes. So, to him, sadhu means this. And there may be another sadhu that's that. And we shouldn't make the same mistake, by the way. We're hearing directly Srimad Bhagavatam, Prajapati Daksha was sadhu, although he had a fault-finding propensity. He was sectarian. You got to be this kind, and if you're not this kind, you know, you trash the person. It's not okay. That's what he's doing. He had a predilection, an inclination to perform karmakanda rituals. That was his speciality. And we're going to hear him list the different varieties and types and quantities, how many different types of karmakanda rituals he has done. He's like pointing to his chest saying, I've done this one, that one, the other one, and so many of them. I'm sadhu. Now, a sadhu doesn't do like that, so that's another disqualification. So he's sadhu with some holes in his bucket. But sadhu. After all, as pointed out in previous chapter, Lord Vishnu, he took up a practice with great austerity, offering prayers to Hamsa Guya prayers to the Paramahamsa, Supreme Paramahamsa, Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu came and he gave his darshan, gave his benediction. I mean, that's very special. Lord Vishnu is very kind. Krishna is very kind. But he was stubbornly holding on to some other things, despite his good favor that he had gained from Lord Vishnu. But, you know, there's a question. How can you still hold on to fault-finding propensity when you're, on the other hand, so qualified that Lord Vishnu comes to give his darshan? Well, if that can happen to Prajapati Daksha, can't it happen to any one of us? Lord Vishnu is being very merciful, and he took some portion of that mercy and not the fullness of the mercy. He was holding on to his fault-finding propensity and his pride. In any case, he had a penchant for this type, and he therefore could not see and have regard for Narada's type. And so, because he, Daksha, was in the business, or in the process of training his sons to be like him, a very qualified filled with knowledge Karmakanda ritual performer, when Narada Muni pointed a different direction, he's calling him dishonest, a cheater. He's going to say some other things, specifically in the direction of cheating his sons. You've misled them. They're innocent, and you pointed something that they're not qualified for, and they went for it just because they're innocent. Shame on you. You're a sadhu. So Prabhupada goes from that directly. The next paragraph is, what are the duties? So quality of a sadhu is he follows their duties. So what are the duties of a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra? And we hear these duties. And there's some restrictions also, specifically for a Brahmana. The Brahmana may perform bhikshu, door-to-door, receiving alms and giving instruction. A grihastha is not permitted to do that. Even one may be grihastha brahmana. So a brahmana, commonly Prabhupada would recite these six things that are occupations of a brahmana. Patan patan, yajan, yajan, dan, pratigraha. Heard it so many times. Patan patan, yajan, yajan. So they study and they teach. They worship and they teach worship. They receive charity and, don't forget, they give in charity. Brahmanas give in charity as well as receive charity. They don't hoard. That's what point that Prabhupada is making here. Thus, a Brahmana does not stock anything for his future use. Bhaktisiddhanta trained that principle. Vaishnavas should live by that principle. And temples should live by that principle. He wanted that we not stockpile things. Then there's the Rupa Goswami example where when he divided his income or his savings or whatever he had, his wealth, it was in a certain manner. He gave 50%, 25% went to family members, and 25% went for emergency. If temples operated with a zero balance sheet all the time, that could be a problem because things arise and you need some funds to take care of those things. But the caution is not to stockpile. Now, this is particularly for Brahmana grihasthas or Brahmanas, like the thing that people in America do. They have storage places. They have so much stuff. They don't know where to put all the stuff. Jitendra is not paying attention. And, they like to stockpile stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff. And that's not not recommended for a Brahmana. Things that you, like say we keep our Rath Yatra paraphernalia, because we're going to use our Rath Yatra paraphernalia every year. And so that's fine. And things that you regularly use, periodically use, and stuff for Janmashtami celebrations, and the deity garments and paraphernalia and so on. Things that we use, fine. But just like in case there's a rainy day, we've got 16 of those and 25 of those and 30 of those, and just in case. It's not, anyway. And Kshatriyas, they have their duty and their means of maintenance. They give protection. Here's the description. Must protect the citizens, enforce rules and regulations, maintain law and order, and something that's like really missing in our Hare Krishna movement. The Varnashram dimension within the Hare Krishna movement. Leaders, managers, those type of people are supposed to do all those things, but not receive anything. like, so then we have this part-time temple president kind of thing. And it's a, it creates a problem to find a temple president that can, you know, spin 20 plates at the same time as earn their livelihood. I mean, it's, your younger devotees don't know what that challenge is, but I'm telling you it's a challenge. Some thought is going into, slowly, into how to have the culture more match what it says here. It says, like, kind of stuck right now. That's a GBC comment for you. Kind of stuck. It'll move. And then Avaisha, agriculture, cow protection, that's their livelihood. And also, Vaisha must give charity. All the grahasthas are to give charity. And the Shudra, serving the other higher classes. Then he ends that little paragraph. Unless one becomes a brahmana, one cannot take sannyas. You know, so people that criticized Prabhupada for what Prabhupada did, it's based on what Bhaktisiddhanta did and based on scripture. First, one must become a Vaishnava. And then a Vaishnava means Brahmana. A qualified Vaishnava becomes Brahmana. And then a Brahmana becomes sannyas. So, and that's the Pancharatriki Vidhi system. That's a long topic, major, major topic. So, here's a little Prabhupada story. Keep everybody awake. One of the times Prabhupada was visiting, well, each of the time Prabhupada visited in New York, when the press was still in New York, the ISKCON press then became the BBT after it moved to Los Angeles, but before it was in New York. And when Prabhupada came to visit in New York, he would invite the artist who had all year long been painting paintings to come and show him their paintings. And it was so nice. They'd get such a charge from being with Prabhupada and offering their paintings to him that it kept them going for another year. Just, you know, the loving reciprocation. So I remember one time they were repainting paintings for the first canto, and they brought a painting that's still in it's in some of the publications of first canto, where Yudhisthira Maharaj is leaving home. He's taking, after Krishna departs, he leaves for the north country, the verse says. So the painting shows Yudhisthira wearing saffron cloth, holding a danda, and heading for the Himalayas. And Prabhupada said, a kshatriya doesn't take the sannyas order. So they were depicting renouncing and heading for the north country, but, you know, holding a tridanda sannyas. You know, a kshatriya, a brahmana may take sannyas. A kshatriya may, like when the kings gave up their kingdom, they didn't take Tridandi sannyas initiation and go with their danda into the forest. They just renounced their kingdom and went and performed similar activities, the activities of renunciation, without the danda, without the sannyas order. That's Prabhupada's statement. Sannyasis and brahmacharis may beg alms door to door, but a grihastha cannot. So that's the cultural component. Then the next is the fault-finding part of the message. So I thought of doing two things. Morning walk conversation in Sridhar Mayapur, 1976, where many nice things were being discussed, but one of the things, Tamal Krishna asked a question about fault finding, And his question was, what is the way to draw the line between the following three things? Blasphemy, fault-finding, and calling a spade a spade. Prabhupada. A spade a spade. Dot, dot, dot. Just like I am saying, what are you? You are a small fig only. That is reality. And what are the other two? That was all he said. Now, you may know this from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, austerity of speech is speaking the truth pleasingly, and Prabhupada identifies that if one has the relationship of teacher to a student, then one may say such things, one may chastise or discipline or speak the spade is the spade kind of thing. And if one doesn't have that relationship, one doesn't speak those things. Elsewhere, Prabhupada would say, it is the duty of the spiritual master to chastise the disciple. Now, it's hard to do that because most people can't take it, but it's the duty. And his reason is, the explanation why, is otherwise they will become puffed up and complacent. Both come puffed up and complacent. So, regularly or periodically, calling a spade, what's that? What are you? You're a small fig only. You're insignificant. Don't be proud. So that's Prabhupada's example of calling a spade. What is the other? To maul Krishna. The other is fault-finding and, Prabhupada doesn't even let him finish, fault-finding. That is another fault. But, vranam ichchanti, makshita, vranam ichchanti, madun ichchanti. Just like, so this is the explanation of that, makshika varam ichchanti, just like the flies, they are finding, where's the sore? And the bees, they are finding, where is their honey? So, two animals. They've got two businesses, fault-finding and collecting good things. These are two. Just like creature, there are two classes. Similarly, there are many rascals who are simply fault-finding. Got the distinction? Honeys, bees are attracted to honey, and flies are attracted to sores. So fault-finding is, where is the sore? And then zeroing in on the sore. Here's a very nice reference on that, where is the sore mentality. Of course, it takes an elevated person to not go there. We know this from Nectar of Instruction. The elevated person is one who doesn't do that. Similarly, there's a very nice section from Chaitanya Charitamrita I like very, very much. It's where Krishnadas Kaviraj has been requested by some devotees to write Chaitanya Charitamrita because he was hearing regularly, like several hours a day, from Raghunath Das Goswami about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And so here he is hearing from Raghunath Das Goswami things that the devotees in Vrindavan had never known because they were living in Vrindavan and Raghunath Das was living in Puri. Not only living in Puri, he was under the guidance of Surup Damodar, who intimately understood not only what the pastimes were, but the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And highly scholarly, enhancing the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by reciting appropriate verses and everything. So he was, Raghunath Das was called the Raghu of Swarup, because there were more than one Raghunath. So to distinguish between the multiple Raghunaths, he was the Raghunath of Swarup. When he came to Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately placed him in the care of Swarup Damodar. You take instruction from him. Just like that. And that's what he did. And because he received that instruction, and he wasn't, you know, he was superlatively qualified anyways. When he left Puri and came to Vrindavan, and was describing the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ooh, everyone was so happy. And every day for hours. Imagine. Can you imagine? Being in Vrindavan. At Radhakund. And every day hearing from Raghunath Das Goswami for several hours. 3 or 4 hours every day. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Can you imagine? And imagine being Krishna Das Kaviraj. And just close your eyes and imagine being Krishna Das Kaviraj. You're Kaviraj. You're this highly learned person. And the devotees has said, this is going to be forgotten after generations. It's going to be forgotten. Krishna Das, please take up the service of writing everything that you've understood from these wonderful expositions by Raghunath. So before doing so, he went to seek blessings and permission. This is culture. And so he went to Ananta Acharya, who Krishna Das is very happy to describe. What an exalted Vaishnava is Ananta Acharya. You know, this qualification, that qualification. And he had, as a disciple, Haridas Pandit. And Haridas Pandit was the disciple of Ananta Acharya, who was the disciple of Gadadhar Pandit, who regularly was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam in Puri. Now, Ananta Acharya and Haridas Pandit were regularly reciting Chaitanya Mangala, which we now know as Chaitanya Bhagavat. Vrindavan Das Thakur had already written that. So every day he, Haridas Pandit, is reciting Chaitanya Bhagavat for several hours a day. So Krishna Das Kaviraj goes to Haridas Pandit and seeks his blessings. Because there's already a biography, so why another biography? Because there are pastimes that outside of Navadvip that weren't described, and some even the ones in Navadvip were not described in detail. Here's Ananta Acharya was a reservoir of good qualities. No one can estimate how great he was. Pandit Haridas was his beloved disciple. Pandit Haridas had great faith in Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. Therefore, he took great satisfaction in knowing about their pastimes and qualities. Now this is the operative. He always accepted the good qualities of Vaishnavas and never found fault in them. He engaged his heart and soul only to satisfy the Vaishnavas. Prabhupada's purport, short. It is a qualification of a Vaishnava that he is adosha darshi, : he never sees fault, others' faults. Next sentence. Of course, every human being has both good qualities and faults. Therefore, it is said, Sajjana gunam ichchanti dosham ichchanti paramara. Everyone has a combination of faults and glories. But a Vaishnava, a sober man, accepts only a man's glories. And not his faults. For flies, same reference, Prabhupada to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, flies seek sores whereas honeybees seek honey. Haridas Pandit never found fault with a Vaishnava, but considered only his good qualities. So, unfortunately, that wasn't the characteristic of Prajapati Daksha. He couldn't see the qualities of Narada. He saw only what he considered to be faults. Now, I'm going to read one other little... So there were three. Spade is spade, fault-finding, and the other is blasphemy. Now, blasphemy is something that sadhu ninda, when we have our 10 offenses against the chanting of the holy name, sadhu ninda is number one on the list. So here's Prabhupada's explanation. Tamal Krishna. And blasphemy? Prabhupada. Blasphemy means you have good qualities, but still I am defaming you. Tamal Krishna. So the saintly person tends to overlook the bad qualities and see the good ones. Prabhupada. Yes. Tamal Krishna. Like Krishna's dealing with Putana. Prabhupada. Yes. Like Putana. She had some bad qualities. She wanted to kill Krishna. Not a nice quality. But Krishna saw the one good quality. She was actually attracted to the beauty of Krishna. And some motherly affection was there.
We'll go on.
Continue in the fault-finding spirit of Prajapati Daksha. He's really fired up to be a fault finder. So we'll be discussing this topic more as the verses go along. But then the last part, because it's already almost 8:30, the last part is, what do we do when we know that people are, you know, they're attached to their ways? Prabhupada details parents of their children, or society in general not understanding the path of Bhikshu Marg, the path of detachment from these nasty worldly things, and people wonder, you know, what's wrong with you people? Or sometimes they say, what do you do for fun? Join the kirtan. And so forth. Engage in expanding the Hare Krishna movement. It's lots of fun. It's very creative, and just join the fun. What? So, although people may not understand, of course, one needs to be discerning. Certainly, Narada was discerning. And not only discerning, he went and met the parents of the Haryashas and Savalashas both times. Hey, Daksha, got some good news for you. What's that? Your sons joined my bhakti program. What? So, with discretion, with some discerning ability, how to do such things, and not just like cavalier about how family members might consider the step of a young person going towards Krishna. We don't want to just like disrupt. We want to be respectful and try to do it nicely, but we still must proceed carefully, thoughtfully, properly, giving the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, and as followers of Narada Muni and followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'll just got my eyes on the clock, but I'll just one story that's from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's life as a in expanding the Gaudiya Math. I think our Brahmacharya Ashram members will appreciate this one. Get a chuckle. Bhaktisiddhanta understood as a strategy that persons who can full-time dedicate themselves to assisting the message of Lord Chaitanya being spread was necessary. It was important, and more than important, it was necessary to dynamically spread Lord Chaitanya's message. And so he was keen on encouraging taking the renounced order of life, or taking up, becoming brahmacharis, living in the brahmacharya ashram, specifically. Becoming brahmacharis and living in the brahmacharya ashram, as opposed to the paradigm that's like ever so strong in India today, so imagine what it was like at his time, that one should, you know, get a good education and get a good job and get married and have a family and, you know, do the Prajapati Daksha program. Very strong. So he would encourage young men, especially young educated men, but young men to dedicate their life to living brahmacharya life. There's a story that's narrated where the person who was very young, who was the young brahmacharya at the time, narrated this story. The Gaudiya Math where Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would visit were small places, and each place they had a room for him. So he was staying and visiting one place, and the parents of one of the brahmacharis knew that he was visiting, so they came to, like, you know, let him have it, that our son has joined the ashram, we want our son back. So the story goes, Bhaktisiddhanta was sitting in a cot, and he had the brahmachari crawl underneath the cot so his parents couldn't find him, and hung a cloth down so they couldn't see him. And then they were asking all these questions, where is our son? We want our son. And he was, you know, preaching to them about whatever it was, the message. Do you recall that section from biography? Bhakti Vikash Maharaj told me the story personally, so I'm surprised it didn't make it into the biography. And everyone was just holding their breath. As soon as the parents left, they just laughed and laughed and laughed, because it was important to Bhaktisiddhanta to that degree that, you know, he was hiding the boy. And of course, that boy lived to become a mature Vaishnav, because he's the one that told the story. But not just anyone, it's okay. Now we have a license to do sneaky things and, you know, dishonest things. Not that, but the point is, it's important. It's important for the souls to go to Krishna quickly. It's very dangerous in this Kali Yuga atmosphere. And to assist the mission, it's important for the mission. You know, that's, you know, pleasing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his purpose for appearing in this world. And one who does like that, even for some part of his life, is great benefit to them and to those who receive that effort. You know, our grihasthas aren't able to join the Harinam, you know, from this hour to that hour during the workday. We can, because we're brahmacharis and sannyasis. We can do like that. And it's a very valuable service. Not everyone can do like that. So it's a nice position to serve from and receive spiritual benefit from that service, and pleasing Lord Chaitanya and pleasing our founder Acharya, assisting in that mission. For whatever period of time one is able to engage in that way. Very valuable. Very valuable. And once again, our needing devotees, certainly with discretion, but should, in the spirit of Narada, encourage like that, you know, appropriate for the person in the appropriate manner and way and so forth. Not artificially someone doing something that they they can't at all, it's not suited for them at all. But when it's at all suited, as Narada spent the time to evaluate the qualification of the Savalashvas, and he understood they're qualified. And he then directly encouraged them, take up this renounced life in devotion to the Supreme Lord. And then when we do that, be ready to face the music. You know, that the parents would say, what? What are you doing? And so forth. We'll hear some more about that in the coming purports. Any discussion? 8:38. Jitendriya. Can you fix the microphone? Go fix the microphone. See what you can do. Yes, Jitendriya. Well, what I recall is he's transferring the curse of the parents to his disciples. So they can move from place to place. He can stay in one place and translate. Something else. Jai Jagannath. Oh, Mitra Singh. Mitra Singh, go ahead. Microphone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was thinking how this applies to a lot of what goes on in our own social circle. I have some service, and like Daksha is given that service. You're supposed to populate the universe. And he was empowered by Krishna.
Somebody interfered with it.
Krishna came personally, and so like, yeah, who are you coming in? You're messing up this service that I was given. And, so I've seen, and I've sometimes been in that situation, I'm given some service, some other devotee comes in, and well, we're doing this. And it's really hard not to come in, like you said, with your thumb pointing at your chest. Look, I have this, and this, and this, and you don't know what you're doing.
Okay, well, in this case, not in our case necessarily, but in this case, the message of Narada is the Paradharma message, and it has its place. Even one may have some assigned by the personality of Godhead duty, or assigned, you know, assigned duty. There's Paradharma, and that takes precedence. An application point that's relevant for us, I think, is this one. All religions teach honor your parents. There's a good reason for it, but it's a religious principle. So not only Indian family people, but Western people also get conflicted. Last time I was visiting in Potomac, one lady, kind of middle-aged lady, came and asked a question after a Ram Nomi celebration talk about what should I do when, you know, my parents don't so much approve of my involvement in the Hare Krishna movement? This middle-aged lady, you know, respecting her parents because it's religious. And the answer that I gave was, there's Dharma, and there's Paradharma, and Paradharma takes precedence. Dharma Dharmam Parityaja. So, not like, okay, now I can disrespect my parents, but when I have to choose between this Dharma and that Dharma, Paradharma wins for my choice making. Now, if one doesn't understand, as Prajapati Daksha didn't understand what Paradharma is, which is also coming from the Supreme Lord, and Narada has that service, and besides, you know, my service, somebody else's service, there's a principle, and the higher principle in Vedic culture prevails. That's one of the important rules that we should understand. There's, you know, the other one is give and take, but paradharma prevails. Anyway, the application point of this topic gets really complex case by case. It does come up, for sure. Ask Jai Jagannath. He's got like a whole thing about it. Go ahead.
I mean, I can sympathize with Daksha here because unlike the modern parents, he's giving me something that's actually bona fide. And he's training his children, which are they're young. His point is that they're not knowledgeable of anything as such. Of course, they were obviously more knowledgeable, perhaps, than he had anticipated, or more than he would have liked. But, you know, his argument is, you know, that they're young, they're new, I'm training in a particular way. The training is also bona fide type of training that's also pleasing to Krishna in a broad sort of sense. It's karmakanda. And so I can kind of just sympathize with him. You've come in, you've taken these innocent men and given them another sort of idea. And you know, being young, they can be easily influenced by any message. So I was kind of taking that scenario, applying it to our modern society also, as Mitra Sena Prabhu was doing. And seeing that, you know, you're training devotees up in a particular sort of way. Here comes some passing person. He preaches something. They get attracted and go away. It could be very frustrating. So I was kind of like sympathizing with Daksha, although the way he's dealing with it is not very, as you were explaining nicely, sadhu. So I don't know if it's much a question, but a comment and question is kind of implicit.
Well, you want to respond or you want another question? Two things. Your service is to some extent in the Narada Muni category. Yes? And that's that's the final, it's the conclusion of this purport, that regardless of how Prajapati Daksha might feel, or the parents might feel, or somebody who's got something also bona fide going on might feel, we must present. That's one response. Then another is, if you find yourself in a situation, or you're like interacting with somebody who's got an issue with somebody else, you're like, you know, guiding them, how do I deal with when somebody else just came along and stepped on my foot and didn't pay any attention and just did their own thing because they thought they were authorized and bona fide too. You know, it can start with some question. It's very wholesome to begin with a question. My dear Mitra Saint, I understand that you spoke like this and did like this in a certain circumstance, and I'm sure there's two sides to the story. So could you explain, you know, did you say this, do this, and if so, you know, what was the reason, and can, you know, just like rather than jumping to the conclusion like Prajapati Daksha did. Ask the person, dear Narada, I understand that you just did such and such. And I'm not sure if you did such and such because maybe it's, you know, who knows? Maybe it's a rumor or maybe a partial truth. So is such and such what happened? And if so, could you explain why did such and such happen? I just did one of those with a situation. And the person, it wasn't me, I was like the intermediary between two persons. And the person who, you know, I delivered the message to said, well, you know, thank you. You know, you're a gentleman. That was the first reply. You're a gentleman. because other persons might not have done it like that. Here is the other side of the story. It's perfectly plausible, the other side of the story. But it really didn't happen quite like the person thought. And, you know, the person's got a service and he's got a service and, you know, that's one of those. So ask the person. And if the person is honest, then they'll explain that they'll say 100% a mistake or complete misinformation or, something, you know, somewhere in between. And then it can be relational rather than, you know, hostile. And then at the end, you build a consensus, okay, what are we going to do going forward? Then you don't break relationships and smash people because, you know, I'm authorized and you transgressed my authorized path. Shame on you. Anything else? Yes.
This particular verse or section is instructive because I'm dealing with something similar.
We often are.
So it's a good reminder. Now, Prabhupada doesn't speak of it in this particular way, but I was...
Can you turn the speaker away just so he doesn't get the feedback?
So I was appreciating it in a different way, so I'm expressing for requesting clarification whether that line of thought is all right or not. For Prajapati Daksha, the Lord appeared in front of him after all these austerities and blessed him to continue with his service. There are many verses saying you're very merciful and thinking about people's welfare, etc.
Yeah.
We also know that Narada Muni does not do anything that is contrary to the Lord's will. So here he's guided by the personality of Godhead. So on one hand, the Lord gave Daksha the inspiration to be a Prajapati and have all these children who will populate the world. On the other side, there's inspiration for Narada Muni to get all those young men into the Brahmacharya Ashram or sannyasis. So I was appreciating it this way, that the Lord wants to expose for Daksha this thing that's a malady in his heart.
Yeah.
And just by the movement of circumstances, this has come to light.
Yeah. When I read the section of how kind Lord Vishnu was, even to appear, what to speak of what he addressed, he was just appreciating something and not addressing the other something, because the other something was there. Pride and fault-finding propensity was there. So in that moment, he didn't address it, but in this circumstance, he's now addressing it through the agency of the merciful Narada Muni. And Narada Muni doesn't, you know, get bent out of shape about, you know, how insulting and so forth. He doesn't do that. He takes it and thinks, what good fortune. Now I'm going to be cursed that I can't stay any place for more than 3 days. Fantastic. It perfectly suits. Krishna is very kind. And he stays because he wants to deliver. And that's the Narada Muni, the instrument of Krishna to bring Prajapati Daksha closer to the Paradharma position. That's Narada's function. So he's carrying the Lord's Bhakti Shakti in fullness. So bhaktas acting on behalf of the Supreme Lord's ultimate mission need that quality. Amanina, manadena. It's no small thing. No small thing. It's a qualification to be a deliverer of bhakti and also to have an attraction and taste for the holy name, which is where our elevation is going to come. And then we have our social lives too. And then we have, We need these qualifications so we can have a taste for the holy name, so we can enter into the transcendent world of love for Krishna. No small thing. Amanina, Amanadina, Trinadapinasinichi, no small thing. Anything from the ladies' side? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.